Crystal J. Paul, and it's time for us to have a chat with instructor at UWIC, that's UWI Cave Hill Campus, author, trustee of a children's charity, an artist, and a lover of life, Dr. Zoanne Evans. She's here to tell us all about her children's novella, Tamisha's Adventure. Dr. Evans, welcome.
Thank you so much, Krista J.
Now, we have to hear so much about this book. I have the privilege of holding it in my hand right now. The listeners can't see it, but I'm sure that during the course of the interview, we'll tell them how they can procure their own copy of this book. The first thing I said was, this should be a literature book in schools. Looking at it, it has that look that definitely needs to be in schools across the Caribbean. And I read the back, the description, and I said, wow, this is fantastic. So tell us a bit about yourself, Dr. Evans, and how it is that you got into writing, and then we get into the book.
Well, I started writing from very early. My father took me and my brother to join the library at Oystens when we were young. I was 7 years old, and I fell in love with books. And he was very big on education. Both of my parents were. So I would write stories and illustrate them. And my grandmother would give me these shop ledgers that were no longer in use to write my stories. And it just evolved. I would enter competitions when I was in school, and I would win. And I remember my first competition, I won $500, and my mom opened my bank account.
Oh, wow.
And that's one of the ways, the one of the many ways she taught me how to save. And I just kept writing. And I remember when I was in sixth form, I entered three categories of the Irving Burgee competition, and I won all three. So that money went on the bank too. So writing, it was very fulfilling. I just loved it. It was just something I liked to do. And yes.
What kind of books did you like to write?
Well, back then I would write children's books. I was very much an Enid Blyton fan. Mm-hmm. So, and I still have them, the ones that were written in exercise books, and I put covers on them and illustrated the covers, and I would get my brother to sign on the inside, "This hereby certifies that Zoanne wrote this book when she was so and so age on this date." And there were children's stories, so they weren't very West Indian. So when I looked at the names, there were like Fireside Tales, and then there was a book about a series, an actual series. I had about three books out of that about a girl who went to boarding school. And then there was a whole book, hardback. My dad had given me one of his little, it's like a diary kind of book. And I had filled the pages with a story about a girl called Timon O'Brien, who was a movie star.
Oh my.
And I traced her from young movie star to marriage to motherhood. And yeah, so
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Was any of these books published?
No, and I'm thinking that since they're sitting there, and I can still see they were written in pencil, and I can still see the handwriting, I should probably type them out.
Yes.
And get them published.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, even as you're doing this now, what would you then say to parents who are listening whose children have an affinity towards writing just as you did when you were young?
I would say encourage them. Do not discourage your child. One of the fears that my dad had, because I wanted to be a writer for a living, and he was not keen on that because, I mean, Barbados at the time, I was a child of the, grew up in the 1979 to 86 was my period in secondary school. And he didn't think it was a wise career choice, but he never discouraged me from writing, though. Mm-hmm. And I would say to parents, encourage your children's talents and gifts. They are God-given. And if you try to quench them, you're going to do that child a disservice. If your child likes to write, give them opportunities to enter competitions, to meet other writers if you can do that. Any avenue that opens for them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of more avenues now than when I was a child. So there are writers' workshops. You can go to the States or wherever and meet other writers. There are competitions across the Caribbean. There are so many. There are local writers that you can connect with in workshops. And I'm thinking of Mario Herbert, who is he is training young authors and publishing their books, and I think that's fantastic. And you, Krista J, you encourage your own daughter with her writing. So, and that's what you need to do, I would say.
Yes. Well, I mean, while we're on this topic, what are your thoughts even of AI being used to write children's books now quite easily in an hour or less?
Well, I guess if you like that, but I say there is nothing like your God-given talents and brains. The creativity that can come out of a human being rather than a machine, because those stories come from someplace, and AI can't do that. AI can't tell you, well, I experienced this when I went this place or when I was growing up. It can make it up, but it wouldn't be true. Whereas stories come from lived experiences. So the stories I read, the ones I would, and my dad would park the car outside Oyston's library. He had to go back to work, but he would tell us, you know, like, go through the books as long as you want, and when you're ready, come out and I'll drop you home and go back to work. And I used to borrow a lot of books about children who lived in other lands. So I can still remember the names, Pepe of Argentina, Arne of Norway, and so on. And they were real pictures. I guess those were the real children, and they wrote their stories. The author wrote the stories of these children, and I remembered the stories. I the one that stuck out in my mind is the child from Holland, and so it made me want to travel a lot. It made me so I fell in love with it. And then there were some fiction books like Babar, King Babar the Elephant, and Caroline by the Sea. I can still remember the names of the books.
That's so good. So good. So then what led to you actually making the move to publish this particular book? Well, and then you can tell us what it's about.
Well, I was entering NIFCA for years. And that particular year, let me see, I told the Lord I wanted to write something that would make a difference. So I wrote, he gave me this idea of this girl who didn't like school. And so I just wrote three chapters. Well, actually, it didn't even come out of NIFCA. I just wanted to write something that would make a difference. And these three chapters came. And then I entered it in NIFCA. And it meddled. And in 2017, I was on a cruise. And I got a message from Linda Dean asking if she could use it at Carrie Festa. So it was used in a children's workshop. And I started to realize, you know, God did give me a book that's making a difference. It's being used in a workshop now. And then when COVID came around, I picked it back up and I said, let me just finish this. And I added 8 more chapters. And I submitted it to the Frank Collymore Literary Endowment Awards. I submitted it and it won the Prime Minister's Award.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And so then I looked again. I felt, you know, I felt very strongly about it. And I felt it could do well in schools, because I taught in the public school system for 16 years and I saw the attitude of the children to education. And when I think of how education propelled me forward and set me on a course to, you know, success and fulfillment, it was very hard to watch our children, many of them, I would say the majority of children in the schools I taught at, they did not see the value of education. And so that was kind of sad to watch. And they wouldn't put books in their bags. And so the bags, the girls' bags contained gel and shoe polish and soap, and so in the book you see things like that. And the boys' bags would be maybe an exercise book and a pen. And that's it.
That's something else. Well, on that note then, tell us a bit about the book.
So the book is about a little girl who goes to Parkinson School, which is the last school I taught at, and she hates school, so she skips classes, and she lives in the pine with her mother and twin brother and sister and another sister. And she feels as though she's being hard done by because she has, as the oldest, to look after these siblings. In fact, her mother kept her out of school at one point to look after the twins when they were younger. And she doesn't have the understanding of the importance of school. And she just wants to do hair, plait hair. And she goes into the school. She goes to ISCF, not because she's a Christian or anything, but they serve food, snacks. Mm. And the speaker that day is a cosmetologist who's talking about doing hair. So she goes and she learns about old Barbadian hairdressers like Hedy and Irene and Carmen Agar, the cosmetologist. And then she hears about a woman called Madame C.J. Walker out of the United States. So she goes to the library to research this lady, and the librarian tells her, you know, there's a lot that's hidden in books that you could learn about. And she gives her a history book, and Tamisha opens it and starts looking at the pictures, and she falls asleep because it's old Barbados in the times of slavery. And she falls asleep and wakes up in Barbados of 1840, just after emancipation. And she's bewildered and very upset because she can't seem to get out of this dream or of this place, whichever it is. And she meets an ex-slave girl called Roxana, who would love to go to school, who doesn't know how to read or write. And throughout the course of this experience, Tamisha begins to realize that as a Black person, particularly, her race would have been kept down during slavery and even after. And things that she took for granted are not really to be taken for granted.
Right.
So she starts to look at life very differently. Mm-hmm. And she longs to go back to the 21st century. And she helps Roxana learn to read. And she has a lot of little adventures in the course of the time there.
Yes.
So, that's basically
that's it. That's amazing. I mean, when I first started reading the description and I saw 13-year-old Tamisha is tired of teachers, tired of homework, generally tired of school, I said, okay. Then I saw all she really wants to do, apart from hanging out with her friends, is to style hair. And I said, so many students would be able to attest with this story just by that first paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have, as you said, being in the education system, well, the secondary school system,
yes,
for 16 years.
Yes.
You have that experience,
yes,
to be able to compile, to be able to put it in a novel,
mm-hmm,
a novella.
Mm-hmm.
And even for this book, it was shortlisted, wasn't it, for the Book as Children's Award last year.
Yes.
So how has it been for you, having published the book and receiving these awards, the Prime Minister's Award for the 23rd Annual Frank Collymore Literary Endowment and for Book as Children's Award? How has it been for you? We have about a minute or so left, if you could just share with us.
I felt very happy. Mm-hmm. The Bocas one really took, both of them took me by surprise, to tell the truth. Pleasant surprise. And it just makes me wonder, though, how can I top this? So I have to go back to the Lord and say, give me something else to write.
Of course. So, he has unlimited ideas.
Yeah. And I don't like to write just for writing's sake. Mm-hmm. I like it to make a difference. You have something to talk about, a specific something that's happening in society that you want to address. But you want to, this particular one, I wanted to make it like palatable to children. So there's lots of humor in the book. The way Tamisha talks, the children love her dialect and her sassiness. And I knew students like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So good. How can people grab their own copy?
It's available at the UE Bookshop. And there's also a puzzle to go with it.
Ooh.
Yes. And you can get that at the UE Bookshop as well. It's also available at the Museum Bookshop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's available from me. So if you message me at ZOWIEGIRL, Zoe Girl, @gmail.com, and you want a copy. And it's also available on Amazon and a number of other sites online that I don't remember the name of right now.
And just to say, Dr. Evans, congratulations to you as well on the launch of this book happening Friday, September 20th. And you've invited the schools, and it will be at the National Public Library. And we'll be hearing so much more about Tamisha's adventure. I am Krista J. Paul. Thank you for listening.